This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
505, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday. Oh my gosh, is it Friday? It's absolutely beautiful. South high fives all the way around. The weekend's looking great as well. It really is. I don't know if you're headed down to Salem, Virginia. President Trump is going to be down there. Why? Well, because Virginia is in play. I've been trying to say that. I'm not trying. I have said it for quite a while. People haven't listened to me. But I absolutely think that the president is capable of pulling off an upset, or the former president. I really do. Just something about it I think is it's resonating with a lot of people. He's the real guy in this election. He really is. What did Eric Trump say to us a couple of weeks back? He described his dad as the blue-collar billionaire. And the appearance of the McDonald's, the appearance of the trash truck, I'm telling you, I think it's spot on. Anyway, with all of that going on, we get another round of really bad jobs numbers. I mean, these are embarrassingly bad. 12,000 jobs created across the entire nation, and they had been predicting 120,000. Now, you know me. If it involves numbers and it's more than, say, three or four digits, I check out. However, we have a real live, honest-to-goodness economist, Dr. Dave Brad, who joins us every Friday afternoon. It's always great to talk to Dave. He is out at Liberty University now. He's the senior vice president for, you know, senior vice president stuff. But when he appears here, I just want to be very clear, he's here simply because he's my buddy Dave, and we talk about stuff, but he's not here on behalf of Liberty University. There's your disclaimer. Dave, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Jeff. Thanks for having me on, brother.
Ah, listen, the pleasure is always mine. Let's start with the bad news or the troubling news. What the heck is that? 12,000 jobs created? That's embarrassing.
Yeah, well, and the timing, you know, with the election and the background couldn't be worse. But, it was supposed to be, I think, 254,000 positive jobs was the expectation. Instead of 250,000, it ended up being plus 12,000.
Yeah.
And if you take out the government jobs, you had the first negative jobs print since COVID. And so, yeah, that's pretty bad. And then on top of that, you know, the government officials have been going back and down. They come out, right? They announce positive news. And this is supposed to be like sacrosanct, right? These are like holy of the holies, right?
Right.
These job numbers are supposed to be private, but this administration leaks it and leaks positive every time. And then a month later, all of a sudden, they downgrade them by 100,000 every time. And a couple months ago, you had me on, and they downgraded the numbers by 850,000 jobs. They overprinted.
Yep.
And so it's just political brinksmanship right here from our U.S. government. They're supposed to call balls and strikes. And so that's the most problematic thing, right? We're not supposed to run a government this way, and they are. And, you know, if you don't believe me, folks, just go look it up. Just it'll take you about, 30 seconds to go Google all this stuff. And just verify that the government is playing games with the American people on jobs.
Now, I've got to ask you, is this, we talk about the 12,000 that were created in theory, and you say you take out the government jobs. Looking backwards a little bit with some of those bigger job creation numbers, are any of those actual jobs in the dreaded private sector, or is it all government stuff?
No, most of it's government, healthcare, et cetera. And then, the huge stat that people don't even believe. I recommend Zero Hedge because they put all the government charts up, the Federal Reserve charts, CBO, BLS, Bureau of Labor Statistics and all that. Go there and you can go look at all this stuff. But over the last year, all the new jobs have been part-time. People are having to work two or three jobs without benefits, and without that stability, in order to pay the bills. Let me repeat that. All new jobs for the past year are part-time. The full-time jobs are negative. They've decreased. In addition to that, all new jobs over the past 4 years have gone to foreign-born workers. Not a typo. All net new jobs for the past 4 years have gone to foreign-born workers, not to native-born Americans. And this is why you're seeing this populist realignment. Add inflation on this, right? Prices are up 22% over 4 years. And the New York Times, the headline, they're playing politics. They say inflation's down. What's the big deal? Mm-hmm. The big deal is prices went up 22%, and they've never come down. Right. And so if inflation is still 3% core, which is the Federal Reserve's key measure, they're going up by 3. So they're going from up 22 plus 3, so up 25%. And, you know, the New York, that's their headline in the paper yesterday. It's just intentional deception on that's the number one issue for Americans. But, you know, and Americans don't believe any of this, right? They know what they're paying. So that's the good news.
Well, you know, Dave, for anybody who still had a question about how outrageous the conduct was on the part of the White House and how irresponsible the reporting is on the part of the legacy news media, we all heard Joe Biden refer to us as garbage. It was clear. It's probably the clearest thing the man's ever said in 50 years in public life. And the spin, my God, you have actual civil servants in the White House whose job, I guess it is to transcribe stuff. They're angry at the political people going, no, he said what he said. I'm putting it down on the paper. And you got the New York Times lying about it. It's outrageous.
Yep. Well, this is on the verge of fact checking.
Okay.
But I'll tell you the backstory on that. Guess who landed that bomb? Jill Biden is the backstory because the day before, Kamala Harris distanced herself 5 times in her closing argument, the closing speech. She distanced herself from Joe Biden, who bent over backwards and let her have the reins of the party.
Yep.
And Jill Biden, that's the rumor mill, is that she is not happy. And so what was the bad Trump headline? Garbage from a comedian. So what did they do? Garbage.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, you know, you don't have to be that cynical to see some logic there.
Well, I am that cynical, but nonetheless, I saw that. I'm telling you, Dave, when he said that and I thought, that was like on a 3x5 card that Jill Biden put.
Wow,
right
I know. Right.
A good
right.
Dr. Biden is not happy about going back to private life.
Not happy. Mm-mm. Not happy. Yep. And that's very rare if people don't know, right? The Dems never crack.
That's right.
When Pelosi used to have a budget bill, it was horrendous, unanimous every time.
Yeah.
Republican Party, we had the Freedom Caucus. If we didn't like a number, sorry, that's not rational, guys. I ain't voting for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, people need to start looking a little deeper, just one line down to see what's really going on in this country.
So, you're thankfully, I know for you, you're looking at politics sort of in the rearview mirror. You're not involved in the mire and the muck and all that nonsense. But you're looking at it as an American. You're looking at it as a brilliant guy. You've been in D.C. What's your sense? A couple of days out from the election, is this Trump's to win, to lose? Is it Harris's?
No, I think it's going to be very tight.
Yeah,
but. That in closing, the energy seems to be on the Trump side.
Yeah.
Nothing to get cocky about. But I do predict that he wins 2 or 3 more seats than people are guessing.
Okay.
So instead of 270 for the Electoral College, I'm thinking of, you know, over 300.
Yep.
And that's enough maybe to take the House as well. And so that's my, right now, as of today, preliminary. When the Wall Street Journal, right, they hate Trump. They came out and gave 3 reasons that, you know, Kamala's losing. And they were just very rational, and they don't like Trump. And so I think that, you know, it's just too much, right? People like, you may say, I don't like the personality. I don't like the brash New Yorker. I don't like blah, blah, blah. But, you know, you just put it, the gravitas, she just does not have it. She hasn't earned it.
Mm-mm.
and the resume's not there, and their side of the football has inflation and a million dead in Ukraine and a border invasion.
Yeah.
And it's just too much.
Well, I hope that you are correct. I know none of us are here doing predictions, but Dave, I am with you in this regard. I'm amazed at how bad she is, and what I mean by that is, I get it. Not everybody is comfortable speaking publicly. Not everybody is equipped to hit the campaign trail, but she is exceptionally bad at public speaking. She is unbelievably bad at retail politics. She's like a case study in what not to do.
Yeah, well, if you go, you know, Tucker interviewed, I can't remember the name, but someone who went over her biography. And if you go look at the jobs she had along the way and how she got the jobs and whatever, it's pretty fascinating. And so, you know, the problem is it's been a month, right? They handed over the political football. They thought the mainstream media would whoop it up and
right.
It'd be the party of joy. And it went from joy to Hitler metaphors in the last month, right?
Yeah.
And it's just not credible. And you know, just for fascism, for people that don't know, is a combination of big government and big corporations. And right
yep.
now, that's on the left.
That's
they
right.
own. Harris has come on and said, "I have the Fortune 100. I have the Magnificent Seven,
yeah.
the big seven firms that are worth more than all European markets combined."
Yep.
And so, Republicans. We want the federal government to downsize significantly, right? Give the states the power, let return power to the people where it belongs.
Yeah.
And so the charges are just, they just don't pass the smell test.
No, they don't. No, they don't. Well, Dave, as always, I appreciate you being here. I think the world of you, as you know, and I'm not going to put you out there as predicting a Trump landslide, but 300 plus sure sounds like a nice, comfortable margin.
Yeah, no, and it's not a landslide. It's just a two or three extra states, you know, Nevada, Arizona, one of the extra upper Midwest
yep.
states.
Yeah,
and it'll you know, it'll be a mandate compared to what the mainstream media has been saying.
Yeah,
I think the people are going to be shocked when they see, oh, you know, we've been lied to again. Okay, shocker.
Well, on that happy note, my friend, I wish
yeah,
you
right.
a,
yeah.
I wish you a blessed weekend. Again, my
you too, brother.
My thanks for being here. That is Dr. Dave Brad. He's just one of the best of the best, and he joins us every week. He's here every Friday. We talk about economics. We talk about the world. And again, he's not here speaking on behalf of Liberty University. But I am going to tell you this, having been part of his CEO summit this year at Liberty University, if you have kids in high school and they're thinking about college, I am here to tell you, you need to make sure that Liberty University is on the list to consider, because just a great facility, which is nice, incredible professors, the students there, I was so blown away by them. They're just such nice kids, smart kids, just a great place. Anyway, so there's my commercial for Liberty University. 517, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
FiveTwenty-two, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. It is Friday. Yeah, we have made it. Congratulations. Self-high fives all the way around. Coming up at 5:35, our Lieutenant Jan McTurnan Blue Friday honor. We bestow it this week on Sergeant Thomas Jefferson from the Petersburg Bureau of Police. Make sure you are here at 5:35 for that. Don't forget, Monday, Bill O'Reilly is dropping by, and Dinesh D'Souza also dropping by. It's always good to have those guys on. Anytime we have the opportunity to chat with Bill O'Reilly, I'm thrilled. And Dinesh D'Souza, just another one of the heaviest of the heavy hitters we have on this program. So they'll be with us on Monday, day before the election, examining some of these jobs numbers just a little bit more. Dave Brandt pointed this out, 28,000 jobs actually lost in the private sector. The dreaded private sector last month lost 28,000 jobs. The 12,000 jobs that were, quote, created, all came in the government sector. 46,000 manufacturing jobs were lost last month. 85,000 jobs over the last 6 months have been lost. Last year, did you know that 773,000 native-born Americans have lost their jobs? So what did Dave Brandt say? Number one, these are part-time jobs, they're government jobs, and they're jobs being taken in the private sector by those who are not citizens. Wow. August numbers and September numbers for jobs revised downward by 112,000 jobs. 7 million Americans right now are unemployed. That is up from 6.4 million 1 year ago. Kamala Harris has overseen a price increase of 20.5%, while workers have seen a pay cut of 3.4%. Do you have any questions? Any questions at all? I think you got all the answers right before you, and I don't care what sort of a cockamamie poll is being pushed by some pinhead college professor. The reality is real people are hurting. You know, you want to look for phony poll numbers. Reach out to Larry Sabato, who heads up the Larry Sabato Center for the Self-Promotion of Larry Sabato at the University of Virginia. Every taxpayer dollar should be pulled from Larry Sabato and his goofy center yesterday. It's an abomination. It is 526, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Self-high-five.
It is 5:51, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It's Friday, man. We have made it. Congratulations. Self-high fives all the way around. I got just enough time here. I got to give you a little bit more of the garbage that's out there. Cut number two.
And there you can see former President Trump wearing that safety vest on stage, leaning into President Biden's comment this week where he appeared to refer to Trump supporters as garbage before quickly clarifying.
Appeared to refer. I don't know who you are, talking head number six over there at NBC, but you ought to be ashamed of yourself. I mean, you really, really, really should. You should absolutely, positively be ashamed of yourself, or at least be honest, own up to it, and go to work directly for Kamala Harris or the Democrat Party. Well, no, I get why you wouldn't want to work there, because everybody that's ever worked for her thinks that she's an absolutely appalling human being. No, I get it. But a small degree of honesty might be nice for a change, just for a change. Some developments out of Dinwiddie I got to share with you. The Commonwealth's attorney down in Dinwiddie now moving to drop charges against the last two folks in the Ivo Otieno matter. Good. Good. Look, it's an absolute shame on every level that Ivo Otieno died. It is, however, clear and has been clear since the beginning that the folks who were with the sheriff's office, as an example, who were doing everything they could to help Otieno, were charged with killing him. It was outrageous from the very beginning. But now that's just coming across a couple of moments ago. So Commonwealth's attorney down in Dinwiddie saying that they're going to be dropping the remaining charges against the remaining two defendants. And that's good. Now, there's going to be big legal bills. I know one of those deputies was getting some help from the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund. If you remember, we had the president of that organization on to talk about that. So there you have it. Hey, tomorrow morning, I am hoping you will join me over at Jake's Place. Wendy Yeoman has baked a bunch of birthday cake to celebrate the 99th birthday of WRVA. And she's giving it away. So I think that's pretty cool. I'm going to be there at 11. I'm going to stick around till about 12:30. Spoke with John Reed. He's going to do the same thing. Drop by around 11, hang out till 12:30. And I'm hoping you'll join us at Jake's Place. All right. 511 Thompson Street in Ashland. As we have done since October the 7th of last year, we are playing Hatikva, which is the Israeli national anthem. It means the hope. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening. I do wish you a Shabbat Shalom. If you're Hebraically challenged, simply means have yourself a great weekend. God willing, we'll do it all again on Monday with Bill O'Reilly, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Ralava?
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.